مبلغ فيوس ماي بير مبلغ فيوس ماي بير مي يو كيب اسندينج سكسس سير سكسس.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatum wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, tonight we are gathered here in Faizan-e-Madina, Masjid of Dawat-e-Islami in Birmingham, participating in weekly Sunnah-inspired Ijtima. And the topic which is being discussed all over the world in the centers of Dawat Islami is about giving charity, sadaqah. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will also discuss the same topic, but I would like to highlight some particular and different issues in regard to sadaqah or charity. And that would be dedicated to our loved ones who are no more with us. Deceased Muslims, our parents, our relatives, our children, our brothers and sisters who passed away. So the discussion of sadaqah and charity would be dedicated towards them. So we can realize their rights, and when we think about sadaqah, we must not forget them. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, few riwayat and narrations would be discussed from one of the theses of Ala Hazrat Sayyiduna wa Mawlana Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Fazil Bareilvi Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, Ityanul Arwah Lidiyarihim Ba'd Ar-Rawah. It means that coming of the souls to their homes after their departure. After they have departed, they come back to their homes. And why do they come back? What they come to look for? Who they address? Who they have any communication or they put any request forward? This is something that we need to know and understand, and the bond and the relationship that we should have with our deceased relatives is very important, because if we don't have knowledge and understanding of that aspect, we will not be able to fulfill their rights. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat radiallahu ta'ala anhu quotes Khatam al-Muhaddithin Muhakkik ala al-Itlaq Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. One of the greatest contributors in the field of hadith in subcontinent. Therefore, his title is Muhakkik Alal Itlaq. It means that he is such a researcher that his research is accepted unconditionally by the scholars. Nobody challenges, because they know it is coming from Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi. And that is the good presumption that scholars always had and still have about Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahmatullah ta'ala alayh. They say, if we don't find any narration, but Shaykh mentioned it, it means that narration is there somewhere. It's our limitation of mutalia or study that we could not find that. But we would not say that Shaykh has fabricated something and he added to his collection or to his research or to his work. He has such great height in the field of knowledge, and his contribution is acknowledged wholeheartedly by the scholars of this world. One of the masterpiece work which he has produced is called Ash-Shi'atul Lam'at, and that is the commentary of Mishkatul Masabih. Very famous collection of hadith book, Mishkat, as we know. So Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahmatullah ta'ala has written sharah or commentary on that book. And he says that it is mustahab to do sadaqah on behalf of mayyit up to 7 days. If one stops before that, there's no sin. And if one continues after 7 days, it's better. They say more the merrier. So there's no loss. But a recommended number of days is 7. Then he says, when you do charity on behalf of mayyit, a deceased Muslim, he benefits. And as far as the people of knowledge are concerned, They are unanimous, and there's consensus of scholars that when you do some good act on behalf of a deceased Muslim with the niyat of conveying sawab to him, you'll get the sawab. So this issue is not open for debate, because there's consensus, there's no ikhtilaf. And if anyone wants to come and do ikhtilaf, don't give hearing, because it has been decided. And then he goes further and he says that in some narration it is mentioned that on the night of Jumu'ah, Shabe Jumu'ah, as you say, on the night of Jumu'ah, the ruh comes to the house. Ruh apne ghar pe aati hai. Jo uska ghar tha jab ruh faut hui thi, jab insan faut hua tha. So ruh comes to the house and it waits and sees if somebody does any sadqa for it or not. To ye jume raat ko aapke rishtedar aapke paas is ummeed se aate hain ki aap kuch unke liye karte hain ya nahi karte. Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlvi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu writes, and Ala Hazrat Mujaddid Azam quotes, so it's not a fairy tale. These are people of tahqeeq and research, and they are credible and authentic, and they are imams of knowledge. Shaykhul Islam mentions that the souls of believers, they come on Thursday night and on the day of Eid and on the day of Ashura, that's the 10th of Muharram, and on Shabe Bara'at, the 15th night of Shaban al-Mu'azzam. They come to the houses and they stand and they scream with very painful and very grieved voice, and they call names. You may have forgotten them, they have not forgotten you. Maybe you don't need anything from them, they need something from you. So they come and they call you by name. They say, oh, people of my house, oh, my children, oh, my relatives, my brothers, my sisters, or whatever the relationship they have with, they call that name, that relative. And they say, please do sadaqah for us and be kind upon us. To aapke rishtedar aapke ghar aakar aapse meherbani ki bheek mangte. Please, we need your help. And of course, they in the qabr, then in a different world, they don't have physical bodily needs. You can't give them food or something to drink or medicine or anything. They're beyond that. The only thing you can do for them is isale sawab. And this is what they come and ask from you, and that is the sadaqah that you should be doing on their behalf if you really love them. In the same book, it is mentioned with the reference of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, rahmatullahi ta'ala, another great Imam Muhaddith, very authentic personality, that you can quote his work with closing your eyes and you would not be wrong. So Shaykhul Islam mentions that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti radiallahu ta'ala anhu has quoted many ahadith similar to this ones, but then he uses the word very interesting. He says, it's a Persian. He says, agarche aksare khali az zu'uf nest. He says that even though majority of the reports and the narrations are not free from weakness. He says, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti has collected many ahadith similar to this, but aksar means majority of these narrations, they are not free from weakness, they are da'if. And when people heard that, they said, see what Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti is saying, that aksar, majority of the narrations are not authentic, they are weak. But then you need the mind of a person like Sayyidi Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala. You know what he says? He says, let me read it in Urdu and then I will translate it so you can enjoy fully. He says, aksare ka lafz sari dalalat kar raha hai ke baaz bilkul zauf se khali hain. He says the word aksar, the majority riwayat aweek, is denoting and telling us very clearly that there are some narrations which are not weak. Otherwise he would have said all narrations are weak. And you don't need 100 narrations to prove something. If you have one narration which is authentic and strong, that is good enough. So these riwayat which are telling that on Thursday night, on Shab-e-Barat, or on day of Ashura, on day of Eid, and on the big nights, that your souls of your relatives, they come to your house and they beg mercy from you and kindness and ask you to do sadaqah for them, these narrations are authentic. There's another beautiful narration Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala mentions. It's a very long sanad, and it's actually a discussion for the students of hadith, but I will just give you the gist of that. Ibn Mubarak quotes the hadith and he says, surely Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that dunya is paradise for the disbeliever and dunya is prison for the believer. And it's very simple to understand, because believer is restricted in this dunya. He's not free. He can't eat anything what he wants. He has to go around and look for halal food. But this believer can go anywhere and eat anything, drink anything. A believer cannot have children without making nikah. A non-believer goes to any town, stays 1-2 years and has few babies and then moves on and goes to another town. Who cares about it? So his dunya is paradise. But this issue of halal and haram and jais and najais, and he has to worry about it all the time, all the time. It's like a ground full of thorns and he's bare feet and needs to walk. And for each step he needs to find a small piece of ground where he can place his foot and he's not injured. So therefore it is said that dunya is prison for the Muslims. And it's jannat, freedom, full of comfort for the kafir. But when the death comes, Muslims' freedom will start and kafir's prison will start. So in the very same narration it is said, وَإِنَّمَا مِثْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ حِينَ تَخْرُجُ نَفْسُهُ كَمِثْلِ رَجُلٍ كَانَ فِي السِّجْنِ فَأَخْرَجَ مِنْهُ. That the example of the ruh of a believer is like a person who was in the prison and he came out. So when the ruh comes out of the body, from the body of the believer, the ruh becomes free and becomes more powerful. You must have heard a hadith mubarakah. I'll give you the gist of it. That when you bury a person in the qabr and when you are returning back, he can hear the sound of footsteps of people who are going back up to 40 feet. Now, you put that person 5-6 feet down in the ground, you put tons of sand on top of that, you left no hole there. There's no hearing device kept in the qabr. And plus, you say he's dead. And when person is dead, his ears, his eyes, his nose, breathing, blood circulation, all that stops, isn't it? So how can he hear now? In fact, if he was living and he was not 5-6 feet down the ground and tons of sand upon him, put no, you know, air coming and going, there's no way the sound can travel. But if he was leaving and he was on top of the ground and you just tell him, put your fingers in your ears and then you measure the 40 feet from point A to point B, and if you walk from there, I guarantee you, he would not be able to hear that. But what happens that you put him so down in the ground, he can hear. So it tells you that his power of hearing has increased. How come? Before he used to hear with the ears of the body, now he is hearing with the ears of the ruh. And ruh has become free. And when something becomes free, it becomes more powerful. Freedom equal to power. You know that? Freedom is power. More free you are, more powerful you are. So the arwah of awliya, they become even more powerful after their departure from this dunya.
Subhanallah.
So it's not difficult to understand. When Hazur Sayyidina Ghaus al-Azim radiallahu ta'ala says, إِذَا كَشَفَتْ عَوْرَةُ مُرِيدِي بِالْمَشْرِقِ وَأَنَا بِالْمَغْرِبِ لَسَتَرْتُهَا. If my murid becomes naked in the east and I'm sitting in the west, I will cover him from there. It's because the powers of ruh is increased and ruh does not recognize far and near. That's for the body. And when awliya Allah they in the world of barzakh, that's a ruhani world. So this issue that they're so far away, how can you call them from here and how can they hear? That does not apply on them because they're in different world. There's a different domain. So absolutely nothing wrong if you, in Birmingham you say, Ya Ghaus Al-Madad. Indeed, Sayyidina Ghaus Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Baghdad Sharif can hear.
Subhanallah.
Because the powers of Ruh, and that he said at that time when his Ruh was still in the body. And Ruh becomes more powerful when Ruh comes out of the body. So we're not here to measure their powers, but to understand the concept. And then it's mentioned, إِنَّ الْأَرْوَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي بَرْزَخٍ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تَذْهَبُ حَيْثُ شَاءَتْ وَنَفْسُ الْكَافِرِ فِي سِجِّينَ. Surely, the arwa of the believers, the souls of the believers, they are in barzakh. Barzakh is that bridge between the dunya and the hereafter. What we call the alam of qabr. And they go wherever they want. Because they attained freedom after death. They're not restricted. The Hadith Mubarakah says, تَذْهَبُ حَيْثُ شَاءَتْ. They go wherever they want. وَنَفْسُ الْكَافِرِ فِي سِجِّينَ. And the Ruh of Kafir is in maximum prison. It's not Sijnun, it's Sijjin. When there are extra words, that's a rule in Arabic language. When there are extra words used, it puts more emphasis. So the simply you say Sijnun, that means prison. But if you say Sijjin, you brought extra letters in it. So that gives you much harder meaning as well. So in modern day, you call it maximum prison. That's what we call in South Africa. I don't know if you have some other names here. Where it's, everything is very tight. And it's not easy for the prisoners to stay. So that's the prison that the Ruh of the disbeliever stays after death. Some more detail on the same issue I will read out and then we'll move forward to the other issues that we want to discuss. Inna arwah al-mu'minina ya'tuna fi kulli laylatil jum'ati. Surely, the Ruh of believers come to their homes every night of Jum'ah. وَيَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, and on the day of Jum'ah. فَيَقُومُونَ بِفِنَاءِ بُيُوتِهِمْ, and they stand at the edge of their houses. Mean in one corner at the end where your house is ending. That's where they come and they stand. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي كُلَّ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Then they call each one of the household members بِسَوْتٍ حَزِينٍ, with a very sad voice, full of grief. يَا أَهْلِي, O my family, وَيَا أَوْلَادِي, O my children, وَيَا أَقْرَبَائِي, O my relatives, اِعْتِفُوا عَلَيْنَا بِالصَّدْقَةِ, feel pity for us and do sadqa for us. Feel sorry for us and do sadqa for us. In other words, feel for us, don't forget us. Be part of you. We still your relatives. The reality of human being is not the body. The reality of human being is the soul. And soul was there and soul is still there. That relationship is not broken. So they come and they say, we have haq over you, we have right over you. Please give our right, deliver our right. So give sadaqah on our behalf so we can benefit. Wadhkuruna wala tansawna. Remember us, don't forget us. Warhamuna fi ghurbatina. And be merciful upon us in our poverty, in our difficult, strange situation. We all alone in the qabr, and there's nobody with us. You are living in this dunya with all other relatives. You are happy. Don't forget us. So they come, and with that sound voice full of pain and grief, they cry and they tell you, besides human beings and jinns, every other creation can hear what they are saying. And there are several other ahadith that Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu has quoted in his risala. I just read few, so we can understand that our souls are connected with us, that the souls of our relatives, and we need to do sadaqah. Tonight we're talking about sadaqah. So we must not forget our relatives and do sadaqah and deliver benefit to them. There's something very important that Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu has discussed, and it's a part of our aqeedah, we must know that. He says, mouth does not mean destruction of ruh. You know, mouth happens, we say a person died. We don't understand anything about ruh. We just see the body. We see there's movement in the body. We see person is breathing. We see heart is beating. We see there's blood circulation. Pulse is working. These are some of the things that would tell us there is life. But we don't know what drives the body to move. What is the engine of the body? The engine of the body is ruh. And the place of ruh is in the heart. You see your heart pumping blood, providing blood to each part of your body, each organ, delivering oxygen. So you're healthy, you're living. But who is making that heart to work? The engine of the heart is actually ruh, and the station of ruh is heart. So as soon as ruh comes out of the heart, heart stops. And when heart stops, then every function stops. So clinically, medically, person is declared dead. The doctor will come and give you the certificate that he is dead. But does that mean that everything is dead? Human being is a combination of body and the soul. So when we say he is dead, what is dead actually? His ruh or his body? Ruh never dies. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala quotes, innama khuliqtum lil abadi, that you have been created to live for forever. So we humans, we don't die. Actually, That can confuse people that, what you mean we don't die? We taste the flavor of death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. And that's the translation of my Imam, Sayyidi Imam Ahmad Raza Khan radiallahu ta'ala. He says, every soul, every living being is going to taste the flavor of death. And that flavor of death is good enough to apply the rules of janaza and ghusl and kafan. That life disappears from your eyes. So you are able to perform certain functions which Sharia has made compulsory upon you. Imagine if you still felt the sign of life, how you would have given ghusl to someone? How you would have given kafan to someone? How you would have buried someone in the qabr? If the life of sign was still there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's His mercy that He makes it easy for you, that He removes the sign of life so you are able to perform these functions. But you need to understand that the reality of human being is not body. Reality of human being is ruh. Temporarily, body was given to ruh to perform certain acts for a while. It was borrowed. The owner is not the person. Person is not the owner of his body. That is one of the reasons that ulama ikram say that you can't give your organ as a donation because you don't own it. You give something in donation which you own it. You give money, it's fine because you own it. Your kidney, you don't own it. Your eyes, you don't own it. And what you don't own it, how can you give it as charity? That's one of the arguments that the scholars give. It's not ours. Allah gave us this body temporarily for our root to function for a while, and He's the owner of our body. And then when He decided, He took the body back from us. So what is left? The same reality, that ruh. And that's the human being. It's still there. So the death mean death of the body. That death does not mean death of the soul. So when something dies, its qualities also die. Body died, body's qualities also died. Sitting, standing, moving, breathing, responding, blood running in the body, all that, dead now. That's not happening anymore. Why? Because body is dead. So what relates to body is also dead. But no, ruh never die. Ruh is alive. And what is connected to ruh is also alive. What becomes the attachment of ruh is also alive. What becomes the quality of ruh is also alive. And we need to understand that risalat is the quality of the ruh, not the body. Nabuwat is the quality of the ruh. Siddiqiyat is the quality of the ruh. Shahadat is the quality of the ruh. Salihiyat is the quality of the ruh. Vilayat is the quality of the ruh. Ruh never dies. Therefore, the qualities of ruh also don't die. So we have to believe that risalat is living. Nabuwat is living. Siddiqiyat, or shahadat, or salihiyat, or vilayat, they all are living. How can risalat live and Rasul is dead? Because Risalat depends on Rasul. It needs to stand with a personality. It's an adjective. You need a noun. It's a sifat. You need a mausuf. So without Rasul, there's no Risalat. Without Nabi, there's no Nabuwat. Without Shaheed, there's no Shahadat. Without writer, there's no writing. Without walker, there's no walking. Because all these are sifat and they all depend on the nouns, on the mausuf. So therefore, every Rasul, every Nabi, every Siddiq, every Salih, they all are alive.
SubhanAllah.
I mean, how can you even believe for a split second that Nabi is dead? Okay, if anyone says, you know, hypothetically that Nabi is dead for 1 second, in that second, whose kalima would you read? Whose ummati would you become? Because then his function of nabuwat will not be there. His function of risalat would not be there. In that moment, if you want to make anybody Muslim, what kalima would you offer him to recite? So, it is totally against the fundamental beliefs of Islam to believe that Nabi is dead. These are big things we are talking about. Even simple iman never dies. Iman never dies. Because if iman is dead, then based on what are you going to answer Munkar and Nakir in the qabr? If your iman died, let's say everything is dead, so iman would also die. If nabuwat can die, then why iman is living? Because they both are the qualities of the ruh. If risalat dies and ruh doesn't die, how come? I mean, iman doesn't die, how come? The people who don't believe in risalat to be alive or nabuwat to be alive or wilayat to be alive, if you ask them very same question, how would you answer the Munkar and Nakir? The simple answer would be, yes, we can answer because our iman would be alive. If your iman is alive, then what goes wrong with the quality of the ruh of the Rasul, which is the risalat? Why does that die? I mean, you can't just pick and choose for yourself. It's a shariat. It's a deen. It's a common property of every believer. So you don't interfere with that. So alhamdulillah, this is the aqidah of Muslims, mainstream Muslims in every age and time, that anbiya are alive and shuhada are alive, and that the ruhani system needs to be understood. So then you would be linked up with the pious ones, and you will take faizan and barakah. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes further and he says, here we're talking about ruh. He says, even body does not perish. He says, there are some tiny parts in the body which are called ajzai asliya. These are actually the seeds of the body. The tiny parts, very minute, very small. And it's a beautiful way of describing our Muslim scholars, Arab scholars. When something is too small, they say juz la yatajazza. A part that cannot be divided further. It's so small. I mean, a lot of things are very small, but there are tools and there are machines
There are laser beams and so many ways that you can cut things and still divide. But when they reach a level when nothing can cut them into two pieces, at that point they say, Juz la yatajazza. It's a part that can never be divided further. So that means it's too small. And those are the ajzai asliya, and they stay in the backbone of human being. And the ulama say that these are the seeds of the body. The body would be resurrected on the day of judgment from the same ajzai asliya. So even if a person is eaten up by a lion, or he was burnt in the fire, or he was drowned in the ocean, and the fish and other animals, they ate his body and nothing left of him, those tiny parts, they stay intact. And they will have relationship with the Ruh. So if you were drowned in the ocean, your qabr is there. If you were eaten up by a lion in the jungle, your qabr is there. That's your alam-e-barzakh. If you burnt in the fire and nothing is left, even the bones and face and everything became ash, those tiny parts, they will stay intact. So wherever they will be, that's your qabr. And your ruh would be connected with that. So azab and sawab, you will get it. So qabr is just the name of, you know, the place where you go and bury the person. But in reality, the qabr is alam-e-barzakh. So both, they have the partnership. They do not separate. Al-Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala has given a beautiful example. He quotes a hadith-e-mubarakah. He says that, you know, there is a person who is crippled, langda, but he got eyes, he can see. He is standing outside the farm, fruit farm, and the fruit farm belongs to someone, and the people are prohibited to go in and break, because it's somebody's property, it's a private property. Fruits are there, you know, he's looking at them, his mouth is watering, he wants to eat. But langadai, he's paralyzed, he's crippled, he can't go there. So he sees a blind person coming and he says, come here. Let me tell you something. There are some nice fruits here. I can't reach them. Why don't you carry me on your shoulders? I'll direct you and tell you where to go, which side to go, where to stop. I'll break and I'll give you half and I'll take half and we will eat and enjoy. Now the blind person got convinced. He carried him on his shoulders and they went into the garden and they broke the fruit and they ate. Then the question was asked from Sahaba Ikram that, who's the culprit? Who's the criminal? It was obvious that both are criminals. Because they committed that crime together. They supported each other. They helped each other. If the blind man did not help the crippled man, or if the crippled did not directed or guided the blind man, the crime would not have happened. Chori na hoti. Ab saza kisko milni chahiye? Who should be punished? Both. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the crippled one, he is the ruh. That the ruh can sense but does not have ability to do. And that blind person, that's the body. That it can do things but can't sense. So the body does things on the advice of the ruh. So if your ruh is good, then your ruh will give good advice to your body. And if your ruh is evil, then it will give bad advice to your body. And your body is blind. Body says, yes, boss. The ruh is the ruler. That's why they say, stay with good people. Stay with the pious people. Come into the good mahal. So your ruh can have that influence. And then start telling the body, get up for Fajr. Sometimes we don't realize how things are happening. You know, people, it's actually the influence. And that's what affects you in every aspect of your life, even in your dreams. One alim, I heard his clip. Somebody said, the people of Dawat Islami, everyone says, you know, I saw a dream of Medina, I went to Medina. So he said, look, if they talk about Medina day and night, and if they think about Medina day and night, then of course they will see Medina. And if you're talking about bad things, evil things, you know, thinking about clubs and dance and all these wrong things, then when you sleep, you are going to see those kind of things. It's all about influence. We don't know. We have two ruhs. Do you know how many souls we have? We have two souls. Big soul and small soul. One is called Ruhe Sultani and one is called Ruhe Hewani. The big soul keeps you alive and the small soul keeps you conscious. When the small soul leaves your body, you become unconscious. If that soul doesn't leave you, you will never sleep. But the day the big soul will leave you, the announcement will happen, so and so died. So you always have two souls. But that small soul, because it leaves your body, and because of that you sleep, because the job of the small soul was to keep you conscious. And now if you stay conscious, how are you going to sleep? So the soul leaves. And when the soul leaves, soul is free. So soul goes some way. And this is where the influence plays the role. If you sit with good people, think good things, then of course your ruh will go to Medina. Your ruh will go to Jannat. And you will see those nice dreams. Alhamdulillah, in the mahal of Dawat Islami, the mahal is sounded always, Medina, 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 Madni, Madni. So, hamari ruh ko Medina ke khwab aayenge. But it's there. And those who think bad things, then they see the bad things. And same time it explains you how fast the ruh travels. If you are seeing Jannat, for example, your small ruh, your ruhe hewani is traveling and seeing. Jannat is not next door. It's very far. But if somebody just touches your foot, you wake up. You will never wake up if that ruh doesn't come back. So that means it traveled so fast, maybe millions of miles. It traveled within a split second and came back to your body. That's the speed of the ruh. As I said, ruh does not recognize far and near. The mountain, the oceans, the big buildings, they're not going to stop the ruh. बगदाद तो करीब है भाई, अजमेर तो करीब है, बरेली तो करीब है. इफ यू अंडरस्टैंड द रूहानी सिस्टम ऑफ इस्लाम, यू विल नॉट हैव एनी ऑब्जेक्शन, बिकॉज दैट्स द अकीदा ऑफ अहले सुन्ना, विच इज द मेन स्ट्रीम अकीदा फ्रॉम द टाइम ऑफ सहाबा इकराम. इट कंटिन्यूड, दे बिलीव्ड इन दैट, दे बिलीव्ड इन द सिस्टम ऑफ रूहानिया. How come Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu calls from Masjid al-Nabawi Hazrat Sariya radiallahu ta'ala anhu is with his troops in Nahawand and he sees from there that the enemies are coming from behind the mountain, they will attack the Muslim army, giving khutbah and same time observing what's happening. If this is not ilm-e ghaib, then tell me what is ilm-e ghaib. Even the slaves of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got ilm-e ghaib from their master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much and what quantity Allah knows best. But then he calls from there, he shouts from there. Ya Sariya Al Jabal, oh Sariya, take care of the mountain because enemy is coming from behind the mountain. He hears that voice, he understands and he practices upon that order. And he saw, yes, that was right. So they alerted themselves and they took care of their situation and they defeated the enemy. That time there was no satellite system, there were no mobile phones, but their satellite was always working. Their devices were always with them. I mean, in order to send message from Medina to Nahawand, you need your devices. So they were fully equipped. Their networks were functioning. Mountains and buildings and jungles never stop them. They never let you down. Like today you travel, there's a big mountain, your mobile phone will say, sorry, there's no network. That weakness is not there. That's the Ruhani Nizam. He could deliver his message, and on the other hand, he heard it. And then when he comes back, you know, when he comes back, people, when they used to come back from wars, now they got a lot of stories to tell you. People will come and say, tell us something. Now he's telling all the nice things. And he said, you know, one day, something very strange happened. An enemy, you know, enemies were coming from behind. And we heard voice informing us that take care of the mountain, and really they were coming from that side, and then we fixed our situation. The people said, you know, who was that person? We were in Masjid al-Nabawi, we were in Jum'ah, and that was the instruction of Hazrat Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala. You have to believe in this Nizam. You have to believe in the Ruhani system of Islam. Without that, the religion is too dry. There's no appeal. So alhamdulillah, that Piri Muridi system, Khankahi Nizam, you know, Ruhani Nizam, Silsilas, that's our power. And we must make sure that abuse does not happen. I mean, we, the ghulams of awliya Allah, we the ghulams of Sufiya Ikram, we love and defend the Khankahi Nizam. But if somebody comes in the garb of Peer Sahib and he starts abusing, then of course we are not with him. I mean, our position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah must be well calculated and based on real facts. We are not the supporter of any falsehood. Where we see abuse and wrong things happening, we disassociate and we give 3 divorces and we go away. Because we are the people of Haqq. We are Ahlul Sunnah. We follow the way of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. We never give any strength to any work of jahl. Alhamdulillah, our mashayikh were always great ulama. They always did their things in the light of Sharia. They never violated any rule of Sharia. How can a person be a wali of Allah if he spends his life against the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What relationship does he have? Therefore, the Sufi ikram have consensus on this issue that if a person does one thing against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if he is flying in the air and he is walking on the water, he's not a wali, he's a magician. Therefore, they never made karamat as a standard of wilayat. Because that can mislead you. You see something unusual happening and you'll say, no, that's a karamat. You don't have any, you know, yardstick to measure whether it's really a karamat or it's a karishma or some kind of, you know, magic fly, that the small little insect fly can fly better than anybody. Fish floats in the water very easily. So that's no excellence. The excellence is Allatheena amanu wa kanu yattaqoon. A friend of Allah is that who is a true believer. All his aqaid are in accordance with the mainstream Islam. And he fears Allah. He's muttaqi, he's pious, he's upright. It's so simple to know. Wilayat is not in 10 different rings that you are wearing of this mazar and that mazar. Wilayat is not about long hair like ladies. Wilayat is not about certain colors that you're wearing. It's your relationship with your Rabb. It's your iman, it's your aqeedah, it's your taqwa, it's your commitment to deen, to Allah and His Rasul. And one last thing, and then I'll finish my bayan, and that is, oh young men especially, and sisters as well who are hearing this bayan in their homes, every Friday, your whole week's deeds are presented to your parents, those who passed away. You need to know this and you need to think very deeply and understand, are you making your parents happy every week? Are you making them sad? Imagine if you read, if they read your Nama Amal and say, written there, my son, he did not perform his namazes. He was fighting with people, swearing, using vulgar language, ghibat, speaking lies. He was going around with women that he has no legal relationship. He was in the clubs, he was drinking. He was taking drugs. And that's the Nama Amal your parents are reading. This is what my son did for the week. How sad would you make them? They have left this dunya. They're out of this troublesome dunya. But because they are your parents, you're still giving them that trouble. This is a hadith of Mubarak of Islam time. Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala has quoted in the very same risala here. And if you are a good son, you are a good daughter, and you read your namaz, you do the good things, you have good akhlaq, you recite Quran Pak, you talk to people nicely, you earn rizq halal, you don't do anything haram, how happy would you make your parents in the qabr? So don't think that they passed away, all is over. All is not over. Your relationship is still there and it's forming more and more stronger bonds. When they were living, they were not noticing what wrong you were doing. You went out and you did a lot of things and you came back and your mother asked you, where were you? No, I was just there with friends, we were just chilling, we were doing this and that, and don't worry, we didn't do anything wrong, even though you did hundreds of wrong things. But there will be no report coming telling your mother that this is what he was doing. But when they passed away and they're in the qabr, your Nama Amal is presented to them every Friday. So, oh young men, young girls, especially, make sure that not to give pain to your parents who have passed away. Make sure that every week when your deeds are presented to your parents, they are happy, they are pleased. And they still make dua, even if they are in alami barzakh, it doesn't mean they don't make dua. They make dua and their duas can also be accepted. So get their dua. Alhamdulillah, the mahal of Dawat Islami provides these opportunities. You get that good influence. You become better person, good person if you are in this environment. And alhamdulillah, the work is happening amongst brothers and amongst sisters. So all can equally benefit. Istimaats are happening, jamiats are functioning, other activities are happening. So take full advantage and full benefit. And alhamdulillah, you are lucky. I come from South Africa. I see the work of Dawat Islami in this country. It's growing very well and it's very strong. You got good facilities. You got good institutions. You got good setup. You got madrasas, Darul Madinas, Jamiat, other departments, studios for the Madani channel. This everything is happening here. So take full advantage of that. Get involved. Bring your children. Come yourself. There's adult classes as well. Everywhere in most masajid. It's happening. It's not too late. While you are living, it's not too late. Seek knowledge from cradle to the grave. Till the last breath we must learn. The benefit is that declare yourself as a student of Ilm-e-Deen. So whenever you die as a shaheed. Because you're in the path of knowledge of Deen. I normally advise to people that, you know, your introduction must be student of Ilm-e-Deen. People will tell you, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I'm a teacher, I'm a policeman. Okay, I mean, it's jais, it's not haram. But how nice it would have been if you declare yourself and that becomes your ta'aruf and identity. That I'm a student of Ilm-e-Deen. And you are learning, you're sitting in the Sohbat of Ulama, you attend classes, you keep on doing that, you're learning online, whichever way it's possible. And always stay as a talibul ilm. Allah humko amal ki tawfiq ata farma. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallam.
O Muballik for you is my prayer. O Muballik for you.